Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Well, I'm just here this morning to tell you, great is His faithfulness. Amen. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was in charge. It didn't go well. But now that He's in charge, amen, it goes real well. Well, y'all can be seated this morning. Glory to God. You know, when we're singing that song, and before we get there, you know, it's just something about singing songs. I don't know how God did it or how it's wired to be that way, but do you realize that when you sing things like that, a song full of faith, how many of you catch yourself riding down the road tomorrow or some other time, the day after, and what are you singing? The very song like that we sang. Why? Because there's life in it. There's life in it. And you know, just like that in the world system, but music does that. I remember well singing the old stuff back in the old day, and I'd be riding down the road, and guess what would come up in my spirit? The old music. And so I would sing those things. It's something how God's connected music to our memory. And how we'll memorize things earlier. We even teach children in kindergarten singing songs of things they need to know. Even the ABCs is a song, right? And we teach them. And when we hear songs like that, it needs to get down inside of you so that when you rise up in the morning, you'll bless the Lord. And when you set, when the setting of the sun goes down, you're still blessing the Lord. And in the midst of your trial, you're still going to bless the Lord. And in the middle of the road, and you don't know which way to go, you still bless the Lord. Why? Because in blessing the Lord, you're acknowledging that He is great in His faithfulness. He's going to direct your path. Amen? I remember well when I was in charge. Didn't go real well. But God is faithful. Amen? 41 years ago this November, next month, the 27th, Tuesday night, Greenville, Alabama, the love of God just filled that room. And you know, things have been great ever since. There's been some ups and downs and sideways and all kind of other things, but great has been God's faithfulness to me and to my household. Amen. And I'm sure that the same with y'all. Before we get started this morning, I do want to stop and say thank you for all your cards and gifts last week with Pastor Appreciation Day. I was very much appreciated, and I do want to say thank you very much for all that. And you know, I'm going to get a card to you as soon as I can slow down to tie my shoes. And hopefully next week I'm going to work on it, getting cards out and thank yous to all of you, because I really do appreciate it. And it's probably a good thing I wasn't able to get up and speak after the people said such kind words. Anyway, I do appreciate it greatly. This morning we do have a baptism that we're going to do. Anthony's going to be baptized this morning, and I just want to amen. We were back in the back talking before the service, and I asked him, I said, have you ever been baptized before? Because sometimes, you know, as a child you get baptized. I was 2 years old when they baptized me as in the Catholic Church. You know, they poured water over the top of my head, and I'd been in church probably about a year and a half, I suppose, and been hearing the Word and studying the Word. I was saved as could be. And I really thought about it. I said, you know, I didn't really get baptized because I wanted to. I did it because I was 2 years old, and that's what they did to me. And I thought, you know, I want to do it. I want to stand up and declare that I believe. You know, and so we were back there talking about, I was about 26, 26 and a half, 27, something like that, and that's how old he is, and 27, right? And, you know, I think it's awesome. And I'm going to tell you something else. Even if you've been baptized before, there's nothing wrong with doing it again. Ask your wife if she has a problem with renewing your vows. I can assure you one thing. If I go to Israel and we get by the River Jordan, I'm going to find somebody to baptize me. Why? Because I'm there and it's there and I'm just going to do it, you know. And, you know, that's just how I feel about it. It's an outward sign of something that's happened in your heart. Amen. Glory to God. And you know, the greatest thing about the baptism, you know, well, we'll get into some of that in a little bit later, maybe. But I do want to make one more mention of one more thing that's, I think, is very, very important. You know, for basically 20 years, I've not told anybody who to vote for, and I'm not going to start today. But I am going to say that we have an election coming up on November 3rd, and that you need to vote. And I don't vote by personalities. I've never been one to vote by personalities. If that was the case, I probably wouldn't have voted at all in most cases. If you're looking for something bad, you can find it. Isn't that right? And if you're looking for something good, you can find that as well. But what I'll do when I vote is I look and see, okay, what do they represent? And how does it line up with what the Word says? I purposely didn't vote for people who said they could promise me more money and would have given it to me if I'd have voted for them. Why? Because God's my source, not them. And most of them lie anyway. You know, it's just what happens, you know. And, you know, I'm not for sale. You know, God is my source. He is my healer. He's the one that's going to take care of me. And I've been under Democrats, Republicans, and heathens. And, it doesn't matter. Because I'm under God, not under them. You know, I'm from a different kingdom, and that's what we've been ministering on, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And so by being so, we're not bound by who's in the White House or any other house. As long as God's in your house, you're okay, amen? And when we get our eyes off of him being in our house and get them on who's in the White House, we'll always find out that we don't have a house. Amen? We'll lose out. But anyway, I want to encourage you to do some research. If you haven't made up your mind and did some already, find out what these people stand for. And again, I don't vote for personalities. And if you want to know who I'll vote for, I'll tell you in a heartbeat, but just not today up here. And I know that they've changed the law where churches now can actually do that from the pulpit. They changed that, praise God. That was just part of silencing the church. But I want you, because I don't want to try to convince anybody through any kind of peer pressure, I want you to look at the sheets, the stats, and see who is for who or for what. What do these people stand for? It's a no-brainer. I'll just tell you that. It's a no-brainer. And if you want it in writing, get with me. I'll print you out one so you can see it. Glory to God. We've been ministering for quite some while. The Lord's had me minister on the kingdom of God. And I'm going to do just about maybe 5 minutes, a little review of, or less. And the reason I do so is because that's how we remember things. That's how we learn things, is by review. And so we're going over the kingdom of God. And the reason we're going over the kingdom of God is because everywhere Jesus went, he preached and did what?
Taught
and did what? Demonstrated the kingdom of God. If anything should ring in your mind when you hear the word kingdom, it ought to be that very thing, that everywhere Jesus went, he preached the kingdom, he taught the kingdom, and he demonstrated the kingdom everywhere. Everywhere. For 3 years, his whole ministry was that very thing, preach, teach, and demonstrate the kingdom. And we know that the kingdom is two words put together, being one, there's their king, and then his domain. And so the kingdom is the king, which is God, and his domain, which is everything that he's created, which is everything, all things visible and invisible. So in seeing that, we would think pretty much after 3 years of him ministering on the kingdom of God throughout all of the land, he had his disciples went with him. They heard every message. They constantly was hearing about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And after he was crucified on the cross, buried, resurrected. When he was resurrected, he spent 40 days there with them. And in Acts, it says that, in Acts 3, it says that he was showing them infallible proof, stuff that you just could not make up. I mean, it's like, wow, look, proof. And it says in that he taught them the kingdom of God. And when I read that years ago, I thought, wow, what could they learn more in 40 days that they hadn't heard in 3 years? I mean, of all things to teach the disciples who was going to take the church. He told Peter, says, upon this revelation, this rock, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell not prevail against it. And you would think that he would come in and say, I'm going to teach you about spiritual warfare. I'm going to teach y'all about the foundations of a church and the spiritual gifts and all. I'm going to teach you about this. He's got 40 days. And what did he teach them? The kingdom of God. Could it possibly be that we've heard the word in terms kingdom of God and it really hadn't got down in here what he's saying to us? Because he turned around and after 3 years of being with these guys every single day, all day long, they had to be instructed again about the kingdom. Why? It's because their perception was one that God, Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. We're going to take over right now. But when he died and was buried and resurrected, they had a different perspective of what that meant. And when we get saved, when we start studying God's word, we get down inside it, we'll begin to see that the kingdom of God is not just some mere term that is used. It's who we are. Paul wasn't one of those 12 disciples that heard for 3 years. Paul wasn't there and heard for those 40 days. But I want you to hear what Paul said and what he referred to and called the kingdom. As soon as I get to it. He said in Acts, come on, you can get there. There's a lot of scriptures about the kingdom of God. That's why it's taking so long to get there. All right. In Acts 19, verse 8, it says, and he, being Paul, went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. He spent 3 months doing it every single day, sharing with them the kingdom. In Acts 20:25, it says, and now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. What did he do? He preached the kingdom of God. In Acts 28:23, it says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law, out of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Now that is one long-winded preacher. He didn't exhaust the kingdom. There's much to be said about the kingdom. And to understand, and he goes on in to Romans when he was writing to the Romans, said, for the kingdom of God's not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He told the same things to the Corinthians, and as he used the term kingdom of God because Jesus used the term kingdom of God. He's wanted them to understand about the kingdom. It's not just a phrase. It's not a little cliche. It's the real deal. We're part of a kingdom, and by being part of a kingdom, we need to understand kingdom things. Amen. Last week, several weeks ago, I made mention about there's components to every kingdom, and we went through those. And the first one was being, if you're going to have a kingdom, you have to have a king. We know that's King Jesus, and he's the Lord and supreme ruler. And their kingdom has a territory. We went over the territory being the domain, heaven and earth, and all of his creation. We went over a constitution, which is the covenants. We went over the citizenry, which is us as the people of the kingdom. Last week, we touched on the law just a little bit. And I've got way more here than we can ever touch today on the privileges of those in the kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to a restaurant, I want to be able to eat. When I get through, I want to be full. In other words, I've prepared more than you'll ever be able to eat today. Okay? So we may have to go into it some more next week. But the privileges of God is just big. It's a lot. And so this morning we're going to go into that, into the privileges of God. So before we get started, let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. And Lord, I thank you that you're not a man that you would lie. And Lord, we just praise you as we read through and study about the kingdom, that it becomes more and more real to us, that we're able to see. Lord, you understand that none of us here was raised in a kingdom. We've been raised where we vote. people in and vote people out. We were raised in a nation of complainers and murmurers, people that don't like it, voice their opinion. And Lord, I thank you that you've given us grace because of that. Lord, we would desire to know more about the kingdom because we understand that when we get to heaven, there's no voting, no murmuring and complaining. And Lord, we just thank you now that we can learn to submit to you as king, for the king's words are final, for the king's word is full of authority. And Lord, we recognize you as our king, and we ask you this morning to help us understand more about your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Privileges and benefits are for the citizens of their kingdom. Now, in the old days, when you're talking about kingdom, remember when the people came to Samuel and said, Samuel, we see you're getting older. Now, we saw Eli, and he was okay, but his boys were little heathens, and we didn't want them to have to serve under them. And you came along, which was good, and you're okay, and we like you, but we don't really care for your kids either. That's what they said. And said, we want you to make a king for us so we can be like all the other nations because we don't want to submit under your boys. And so he went to the Lord, and he told God what they said, like God didn't already know. And God told him, said, go ahead and give him a king. Go ahead and give him a king. He said, now, Samuel, don't you take it personal, because they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me because I wanted to be their king. And then he went ahead and started telling them all the things that was going to happen by them having a king appointed over them, and how they were going to have to start paying taxes, and how kids were going to have to be in the military and fight wars for them, and went over great details of all the things that was going to happen. He said, you go ahead and tell them that. Tell them all these things, but you go ahead and tell them, we're going to give you a king. And so they gave him Saul. And Saul started out pretty good. He just didn't end up real good. But they wanted a king. And so he says, okay, fine. How many of you realize that us as Americans, we sometimes want to walk around and be the king of our life? Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do as I please. And you see it everywhere. And they've got their own little kingdom going on. But if we look at things and we say, Lord, I desire to be of your kingdom. Guess what happens? Then he takes care of the citizens. See, just like it was there, he was telling Samuel, go tell them now they're going to be paying for this king. This king's not going to just come in there and just set up shop for free. They're going to be paying for it. And just like it is in our government, in order to have things take place in our government, they tax us so they can provide for the citizens. How many of you know Trump might be rich, but he's not that rich? So the money's going to come from somewhere. It's going to come from the people, the citizenry. And all kingdoms were set up that way, and it's always been that way. Money's got to come from somewhere, and it's coming from you. It's coming from me in order to finance their kingdom. Well, God already owns everything. He's the king. He owns it all. He's not trying to get anything out of anybody. How do you like that kingdom? He's trying to take what he's got and give it to you. He don't want anything you got. He already owns it. He just wants you to have more, because to his kingdom, there's no end. There's no minimum wage. You can't exhaust the kingdom. So why would anybody want to walk around and live their life with them being king, that they have to provide the benefits for their own life? It doesn't even make sense. So if we allow him to be king, there's privileges and benefits that come from being a citizen of the kingdom of God. And when we're born again, guess what? We become citizens of the kingdom. And so in doing so, let's go ahead and turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, this morning. Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at something there. Well, that's not really what I wanted to do with that. Okay, here. I want us to get a good understanding of who we are in the kingdom. It says, for the kingdom of heaven, starting in verse 1, is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, about 9 o'clock in the morning, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour, about noon, and again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand you here all day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyards, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, because from the last and beginning from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received each man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed they should receive more, and likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am so good? And it said, and the first shall be last, and last shall be first. Then when we read that on the surface, you would look and say, well, yeah, but they worked all day. Some of those guys were out there 12 hours in the heat. And he gave those guys that were there in the last hour the same thing he gave those that was there 12. What the Lord was explaining to these people was this. It doesn't matter if you've been a family member from the seed of Abraham, if you come from his lineage, or you were a heathen out on the sidewalk 3 minutes ago before you gave your life to the Lord, you get the same benefits and privileges as somebody has been in it all along. Amen. You hear me? He was saying, what is it to you? It's all mine to start with. Is it wrong for me to be good with my money? It's all mine. Why can't I give it to somebody? Now see, you and I, we deal with people. People may say, well, they don't deserve it. Jesus says, they deserve it. Why? Because I paid the price, not them. Amen? He said, I paid it, not them. You see, back then, especially with the Gentiles, there was this wall of partition. You know, they had the holy place, then they had the Holy of Holies. And then there was a courtyard there of the temple called the outer courts. But even there was a section sectioned off for the court of the Gentiles. So they were believers, but yet they couldn't walk in the same privileges as other people that was born Jewish. And he was saying here in all this, he's explaining to them, everybody's going to get the same benefits. Everybody here gets the same privileges. All citizens, rich, poor, black, white, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Educated, uneducated, you all get the same benefits because you are citizens of this kingdom. And he was bringing about, it's mine and I'll do as I please with it. And if I want to be good, I can be good. Amen? Now see, that's ought to be all great news for all of us. We weren't Jews. We weren't raised Jewish. So somebody that was from the lineage of Abraham has really no more benefits than you do. Amen. They may know more about it. And by them knowing and having knowledge of this, they can enter into it. But they don't have any more than you have. They just access what they know. And that's what happens a lot of times in churches and places. You say, well, you know, it just don't seem like it's working for me. Have you accessed the benefits? Well, I didn't know there was such a thing. Well, that's where I lived for a long time. I had no clue that there was any privileges of being in the kingdom. So the very first thing that we need to establish in looking at the kingdom of the privileges of the kingdom is the fact that we, as born-again believers, are citizens, and we have privileges that are not available to people who are not citizens. Now, in our country, in times past, if you weren't a citizen, you were limited to what you could receive. And nowadays, they're trying to get it to where everybody gets health care, and I'm for everybody having health care. But what I'm not against is our veterans not having the care they need to have, and they say, well, we don't have the money. Or senior citizens, then they say, well, we don't have the money to really give to them what we want them to get. They need to pay for their health care. They're limited on their little monies, and it may run out, but we somehow have enough money to give to people that ain't even here. Now, I have a problem with that. If you think I'm politicking, well, yes, I am. I'm just telling you the truth. I have a problem with that, with elderly people having to do without, homeless people on the streets. Now, if they want to choose to live that way, that's fine, but there's too many that's out there that's doing without, who paid in and paid in and paid in, whose families paid in, and yet we're going to just give it to somebody else? We can come up with the money for that? That's evil. That is evil. Make somebody who put their life on the line, whose families did without their husband and daddy, and say that they're not worthy of anything, but we're going to give it to somebody that's never been here, can't even speak the language. I have a problem with that. Now, I have no problem whatsoever with somebody coming to our country the right way and saying, I adhere to the Constitution and the things of this land. I adhere to it. I desire to do it. I'm going to work it. I'm going to do everything I need to do. I believe in that because I'm standing here before you, a third generation that did it. Because that's what my grandfather and grandmother did. So I'm all for immigration, you know, people coming to our country, immigrants, but do it right. They didn't come over here to change the rules. They come over here and said, we adhere to this Constitution, and we will abide by it. And paid in and did what they were supposed to do. So they should get the benefits, not somebody that has no clue. And in God's kingdom, it's that way. Okay, they may change it here in our country and other countries. Kingdom doesn't work that way. And you may think that it does. Well, you know, I know Jesus is a good guy, but I just don't believe in it. Well, fine, you're not coming into this kingdom. There's only one way, and that's through Him. He is the way. So, well, I just don't agree with that. You don't have to, because you ain't part. You're not part of the kingdom, so you don't have to agree with it. But you're not going to get any of the benefits of it. You need to be glad you can even breathe, because the air don't belong to you either, but it's His goodness that's letting you breathe it. Excuse me for getting on a high horse. So all the citizens of the kingdom, and we are citizens, have privileges that aren't available to everybody else. Turn with me over to Ephesians 2:1, and let's see how that works. Ephesians 2:1. I've been teaching on the book of Ephesians in Bible school on Tuesday nights for the past month, and it's been fun. And just want to just show you a little something. Ephesians is a great book. It's like having the whole Bible condensed to 6 chapters, because you find out what the Father's will is in chapter 1. You see the execution of it in chapter 2 that Jesus did. Chapter 3 is the Holy Spirit revealing. In chapters 4, 5, and 6 is how you and I go and do what He just got through teaching in 1, 2, and 3. Hello. Because without a practical application, it's just a bunch of talk. Verse 1 says, and you, say that's me, hath He quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath He quickened, old English term meaning you've made alive. And you hath He made alive, which you notice is italicized, and by it being italicized in your Bibles, He's referring to something which we'll see in verse 5. So we'll just keep reading. Who were dead in trespass and sin, wherein in times past you walked or lived your life according to the course of this world or the culture of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's a long sentence. But God, who is rich in mercy, say he's rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, say together, with Christ. He says, even when we were dead in sins. And so when we were dead in trespasses and sins. I used to wonder what was the difference. So we were dead in trespasses. What is a trespass? Well, trespass are sins that you're committing that you don't know are sins. Hello. There's sins that you're committing you didn't know it was a sin. And he says, you know what? I made you alive even to things you didn't even know about. He said, you walked in this back in the old day. And he goes on and it says in verse 11, that's where we're getting to, verse 11. He says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV. Maybe it'll be a little easier to understand. It says, therefore remember, and anytime you see therefore, you have to go back and see what it's there for. That's why I went to verse 1 to start with. Remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. In other words, they were circumcised with Abraham. So that was the work that they performed. Verse 12, remember that at times you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought nigh through the blood of Christ. He said, what? You were excluded from all benefits, all privileges, all promises. Because why? Because you were excluded from the citizenry of Israel. Through the covenants that God made to Abraham and others, the Jewish nation had privileges. They had benefits by being obedient to the word of God. And we find those privileges throughout the entire Old Testament. Verse 14, it says, for he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who hath made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing it in his flesh, the law with its commandments and regulations. He abolished the regulations and the laws that the Jewish people had set up about all kind of things. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and he preached to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which Christ Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is jointly joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling place, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I want you to notice there, he said that he came to preach to those that were far off. That's us, the Gentiles. And he came and he preached the exact same message to those that were near, the Jews. And he said he was going to make a new man. Say a new man. He didn't go over there and take the Jew and say, well, I'm going to take this old man, just rework him. No. He says, I'm going to take the Gentile, and I'm going to take the Jew, and I'm going to bring them over here, both of them, and I'm going to make a new man. Because I'm really not pleased with the Jew, and I'm definitely not pleased with the Gentile. So you can't get in by Jewish heritage. He said, all your background means nothing. Absolutely nothing. So don't ever think that when you start reading the scriptures there, you say, well, that was for the Jews. No, it's for you. Those benefits and promises in there that God made are yours. Because you're a citizen of the kingdom. Yes, Lord. Well, that was for them back then. No, it's for you now. Yes. His promises are still yay and amen. Yes. One new man out of two, thus making peace. He said, I'm going in here, I'm tearing that 5-foot wall of partition down that separates the court of the Gentiles from the court of everybody. He said, I'm not even going to stop there. The Father got involved in it and said, let me get in there. And he got in there on the death when Jesus was nailed to the cross and said it was finished, and the clouds came in, rolled in and became dark. The earth shook, and he ripped the top of that veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, ripped it from top to bottom to give you access, not so you could stay out here in the outer courts, but to go into boldly to the throne room of grace. Yes. They didn't have that choice. Those Jews, don't ever think that you can settle for sitting out here in the outer court. Jesus said, I want you up here in my lap, seated with me in heavenly places. But we want to live our lives in the outer court when we don't have to. We need to be living in Him. In Christ. Psalms 103, let's go over there. Psalms 103. I want you to see what David had to say about this. Here's a man that stayed in trouble quite often, or found himself in trouble. In verse 1, aren't y'all thankful for Stephanie up there in that sound booth? I mean, she can just throw this stuff up here. You know, they're the unsung heroes there, you know? I mean, they have no idea where I'm going. And that's okay, because sometimes I don't either. But they find it and do it real good. In verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Isn't that what we were singing earlier tonight? I mean, this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. I bless His character, everything about you, God. I bless you. It says, and all that is within me. Not just with your lips. Huh? He said, what did he say many times? He says, my praises are on your lips, but your heart is far from me. He says, no. He says, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Wow. Forget not His benefits. God doesn't want you to forget His benefits. And David went ahead and listed a few of them. He says, who forgiveth all of thy iniquities. How many of you know that's a pretty good one? Who forgiveth all of thy iniquities. He forgiveth all of thy iniquities, all of your sins, all of your trespasses. He's wiped them off. He says, I don't even remember them anymore. We'll just leave it alone. Forget it. It's over with. We had time, we'd go through each one of those scriptures that says, I won't even remember it. Matter of fact, if you bring it up, you'll have to refresh my mind over all of it, because I choose not to remember what you did. Once it's confessed, it's gone. He says, I've removed it as far as the east is from the west. Now, your wife may remember. Your children may remember. Your friends may remember. A lot of people may remember what you did, but God doesn't. He says, I choose to forget, because when I look at you, I don't see that. I see Jesus. Amen? Wouldn't it be a nice place when we all do that? Yes. Who forgiveth all? He didn't say just the bad ones. all thy iniquities. Another benefit. And healeth all thy diseases. It don't make any difference what disease it is. He forgives it. I mean, he heals it. And we're not going to get into that because right now we'll get into it a little bit later. Because that's one of the components of a kingdom is health care, which they're still fighting over in Washington. And every other nation does the same thing. But in the kingdom of God, how many of you know you got free health care? It don't cost you a dime. Jesus is our healer. Yes. Huh? He's got divine health for those that can walk in that. And if you stumble around, you end up having something, well, he's got divine healing for that. Amen. So you don't even have to get sick. But how many of you know there are those times that you are attacked by the enemy, and so you need healing? He says, I heal all your diseases. He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Does anybody here like that idea? That's a benefit from God. You know what that word destruction actually means? It means the pit. He says, I redeem thy life from the pit. Amen. How many of his life's ever been a pit? You know, so this is the pits. Y'all remember that expression? Some of you young people are like, what? So we're given reference. Think about that pit that they threw Joseph in. You see, the thing about he's redeemed your life from the destruction, from the pit, it doesn't really matter whether it was a voluntary falling in the pit or you got thrown in the pit. It doesn't matter. Amen. He's redeeming your life out of it. How many of you realize that David faced a lot of things that he didn't really do anything about? I mean, what did he do? Even with his own family. He was thrown in the pit. He said, that was Joseph. No, David too. They didn't much care. They go out and feed the sheep. You're not even welcome to come eat with the prophet. Don't even call him in. Then his brothers accuse him. Are you just trying to do this and trying to do that down here? Well, he ended up killing Goliath that day. How many of you know that his father-in-law, Saul, who he's down there and just defeated the giant to keep Saul alive, is now trying to kill him? That's being thrown in a pit, wouldn't you think so? It wasn't a pit that he desired to go to. He didn't do nothing wrong. How about his wife, which was the king's daughter? What did he do? What'd she do? You embarrassed me dancing out here before that ark. What did he do wrong? Nothing. He didn't do anything wrong. Then his own son tried to kill him. So these were pits that he had to live in and get redeemed from that he had nothing to do. He was just doing what he's supposed to do. But then there were some things that he got himself involved in, like adultery and murder. And there was a pit there because he had to pay the price for those pits that he threw himself in. But God delivered him out of all those things as well. So it doesn't really matter whether you find yourself falling into a pit or you were thrown into a pit. The fact of the matter is he's redeemed you. Your life from the pit. Ain't that good news? And then he says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, when you read the word crowneth there, it means it's a place of authority. Because the people out there working in the field aren't walking around with crowns. I mean, if you were a court jester, I guess you get a homemade crown. But if you got a crown, that's a place of authority. It's like putting a ring on their finger. So you think of it this way. If that crown represents authority, which it does, and it sits where? Is it on your shoes? Or is it around your waist? It sits upon your head. So from the top of your head, everything underneath it is under authority of that crown. And all that crown represents. He crowned you. He gave you authority because you're now not a whatever, you're his son. You're his daughter. You're heir to the throne. So you got a crown. You need to walk with our heads held high so your crown don't fall off. Okay, so that you'll remember this is who I am, and everything that's under me, which would be under your foot, belongs to you because you're heir. It belongs to the kingdom, which you're heir to the kingdom. You say, well, I just don't see that. Then you won't get a benefit of it. But if you'll press through and see what does God say about it instead of what you think you know about it, well, that's just too good to be true. Salvation is too good to be true. Huh? What did God say? This is not a make-up, believe type thing. This is the truth. Crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Giving you that authority, if that's not a sign of loving kindness, we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, we didn't do anything for it, yet he gave it to us. And tender mercies, teaching us how to live, and even when we mess up, his mercy does what? It endureth how long? Forever. I mean, there's a whole psalm that talks about, and his mercy endureth forever. And then another phrase goes forth, and his mercy endureth forever. And another thing, and his mercy endureth forever. It doesn't matter. His mercy endureth forever. There's no end to it because there's no end to the kingdom. You can't exhaust his mercy. And then he says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Satisfies thy mouth. Now that's something that we really ought to all take heed to, pay quite a lot of attention to. He says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. If you really understood that, you'd probably watch what's coming out of your mouth. Because if he's going to give you what's coming out of your mouth, we might want to start thinking about what we're saying. So, well, I just don't like that one. Well, maybe you shouldn't like the other benefits either. Maybe the reason that you need some healing of some diseases is because of what you got coming out your mouth. Maybe you got in the pit because of what was coming out of your mouth. Maybe you need tender mercies because of what came out of your mouth when you spoke to your spouse. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory to God. These are just some benefits that he wrote right here. What other kind of benefits are there? Well, there's benefits of his presence. We'll go over them real quickly. His presence alone is a great benefit. Wouldn't you think so? He said in his word, he says in 13:5, he says, let your conversations be without covetousness, in Hebrews 13:5, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that's pretty good, isn't it? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But it doesn't stop there, because he goes on and tells us why. He says in verse 6, so that we may boldly say. So he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that you can boldly say. You see that? He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, verse 6, so that we may boldly say. Now, if he's there, and he's never going to leave us, and we understand that he is there, he's right there, then we can say something. And what did he say that we're to say? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord's my helper. And not just say, well, you know, the Lord, he's my helper. No, boldly say, the Lord's my helper. Yes. Boldly say it. Not something you just think about. I mean, how can you not get excited about the fact that God said, I'm your helper. I'm going to do it. I'm going to bless you. I'm your helper. Holy Spirit sent here to do this very thing. So that you'd have what? You could boldly say it. Well, what else did he say that about boldness? Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Jump on 16. Let us therefore come how? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Y'all remember in Esther, she walked back and forth in front of the king trying to get his attention. Wouldn't dare enter in, because if she entered in, it could be death. You just didn't barge in on the king, even if you were the queen. You came because he acknowledged you and said, come on in. So she just paced back and forth. He said, let us come boldly into the throne room of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He doesn't have office hours. He's there. Right? What do you need? What do you want? Aren't you glad you don't have to wait to 8 o'clock to get healed? To go see the doctor, the great physician? You can do it at 2 a.m. You're up all night worried about something and you're just like, well, the bank's not going to open. I mean, I can't see nobody. You can see the Lord. Lord, I've got this situation down there. I need help. He said, okay. He's there all the time. As a citizen of our kingdom of God, we have this access to come boldly, not to an outer court, not just inside the door to a holy place, but all the way to the throne room of the Holy of Holies. Come boldly. Just when, hey, Peter will come to my house and stand there and hold up both doors to the refrigerator. He didn't say, Dad, what's in there to eat? You got anything in there? No. It don't matter if he comes to that one, one at the pool house, one at... Grandkids do the same thing. Wow, they come boldly in there. I came home one day and they had boldly got into my change. Had all my quarters stuck out. And they were filling out their sheets. Tyler, Savannah, and Nathan, every one of them had these little quarter things. They were putting their quarters and matching them all the different states. And I said, what are y'all doing? And they just grinned. I said, that's my money. They just grinned. I'm like, you know, they were younger. They came boldly in there and got it. Didn't matter. And you know what? I just grinned back because I boldly got it from God. So go ahead. Take it. And that's how we are to be with the Lord. You come boldly. That's a privilege that we have. Now, we've got many other privileges. And maybe we ought to pick up, but I'll just make mention of them in case y'all are slack next week, not come. I'll just make mention of them. We have a benefit of peace. We have a benefit of prosperity. And I'm going to go over these next week. We have benefits of promotion. We have benefits of protection. We have benefits of restoration. And I want to touch on each one of these because these benefits are yours. But if you don't know that you have them, you won't be exercising in them. You won't even do it. You'll just say, oh, okay, this is all good, but I didn't know that. Know your citizenry. Know what's been made available by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Every head bowed and eye closed, nobody looking around. Lord, I just thank you this morning for being part of the kingdom of God. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for adopting me in. Not as a second-class citizen, but as a child. Child of yours. Lord, I thank you that I, as well as these other believers here, went to the cross with you, went to the grave with Jesus, resurrected with Jesus, and were seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that. If there's anybody here this morning, and you didn't realize that you have these benefits made available to you, maybe you're watching online this morning and you didn't realize and understand that there was privileges to being part of the kingdom. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord about this. Start saying, okay, Lord, you made these available because you wanted me to have them and you knew I needed them. You didn't want me to be anxious and live a life that way. You didn't want me to live in fear. You made benefits available for me so I could do all that you called me to do. You set me up for victory. You made these things available because you knew I needed them. Right where you are today, let the Lord know that you desire to know more about what he's made available. Ask him to guide you to these benefits, to these truths. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now for the people that are acknowledging, yes, you've made benefits that I'm not even aware of. but I understand that you made them for me, so I want them. Lord, I thank you that you're going to direct their footsteps. You're going to direct the teachings. You're going to direct everything they have need of. And as they spend time with you, you'll begin to reveal how those things apply to their very life where they are and what they're going through. And not only things that they're going through now, but the things that they'll be dealing with in the future, they'll be able to see and grasp these benefits and stand strong. Lord, not only to the point where it works in their life, but they'll be able to teach their children and to be able to teach their children's children through their lifestyle of who they are as citizens of the King. Now, Lord, I speak and declare blessings upon the people today. Lord, we thank you for Anthony. Thank you for this special moment in his life. And Lord, I thank you that we here are being able to witness the very thing that we've been talking about this morning. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.